Hello, everyone. We are getting ready to coach on special diets. Let me tell you what this coaching call is. So y'all can get coached. This call is all about for people who have questions about special diets, who are doing special diets and stuff like that. And I wanted to kick this off with kind of talking about it for just a second, and then we'll get into the coaching. We have the special diet subgroup, and this is a group that is designed for people who really need to follow a specialized plan because either their health depends on it or physically how they feel depends on it. And I want to talk about it for a second because a lot of you want to do a special diet because you think it's going to make you lose weight faster. You don't need a special diet for that. You know what you need to do? Stop overeating. Seriously, all of you, stop putting, like, do not sit there and pull the trigger on a special diet simply because you want to lose weight. You know how you best lose weight? Work on why you overeat. If you're overeating right now, cutting out food groups and doing a special diet doesn't solve your urges. Doesn't change your mindset. For a little bit, you might be committed to it because it's shiny and new, but eventually, everything that you're avoiding in terms of not wanting to like work on your overeating and why you do it and all this other stuff, it comes roaring back when it gets boring, when it gets tiring. Old thoughts of deprivation will come up, especially for you guys. Who, like, if you're feeling deprived on four basics, don't think starting a special diet is going to solve deprivation. Deprivation is just a feeling generated by how you think. That's it. Don't think going on some special diet, some paid program or whatever, is going to motivate you to eat better. Look at how you're eating now. Whatever problems you're experiencing, they come back in the middle of a special diet. Your mindset is where things have to change. Now, a lot of you do have reasons why you need to be on one. PCOS, pre-diabetic, all kinds of stuff. Guess what? For you, you do need one. And we need to get your mindset wrapped around it and get you out of the dooter from it. So that's what we're going to be doing today in the coaching. All right. I got the chat up. Here we go. Juliana Conway, you're first.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Well,
so you hosted me on Plastics 2 weeks ago. This time, I don't know how to classify what diet I have. So I, hold on. I have, celiac disease at the very least. That being said, I have been on a wild goose chase to figure out what has been wrong with my stomach for the past like 5 years. And every new GI doctor is giving me a new diet. So I have switched between gluten-free, lactose-free, not allowed to have vegetables, and all of these things, like, I get angry, right? So, like, the first time, like, the first week, I'm like, I'm not doing that, absolutely not. And then my pain comes back, and I have trouble sitting with the thoughts about pain. And then I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I'll end up, like, eating, I don't want to say binging, but I'll end up way overeating the few items I can have. And I have this thought that's like, it's justified because I can't eat anything else, which I know is insane, but like, I want to break this cycle.
So why are you angry?
I'm angry at my body. Hold on. I'm angry at my body.
Why are you pissed at your body? I mean, look, you can, I mean, let's figure that out. But at the end of the day, you didn't choose this, but you have it.
Yeah.
It's just like, I was talking to a friend of mine the other, I was like, I bitch about this thing I have to do every single month. And I won't go into the gory details, but every single month I spend a day before it happens literally in the deuter, bitching about how I don't have time, blah, 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 blah. Yet every month I'm going to do it. And I finally this month just said, man, I sure do cause myself a lot of pain to do something I know I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
And that's my thinking. That's not your body failing you. That is your thought about your body. Of all the things that you could be thinking.
I can't figure out a way to spin this. Not even positively, just neutrally.
Not put it through torture.
Yeah. But, okay, I don't know why I'm biting on this, but I will because this is honestly what's going on in my brain. I'll do these things and it doesn't 100% resolve things. Like it might make it better or it might make it worse if I don't follow it, but like I'm still in pain and I hate the pain.
Well, that's another thought or a feeling that's left.
Yeah.
If you're going to have some pain, like this is the thing, Juliana. At some point, you've got to define what your C line is. I'm going to have stomach pain. Boy, my body's milled. I'm going to need to eat in certain ways. I didn't choose this, but so is life.
Yeah.
I think sometimes what we do is we want to argue with reality. And when we're arguing with reality, we wonder why we're so exhausted, depleted, and angry.
Yeah.
It would be like me walking in here every single day and looking at this desk and going like, motherfucker, you're brown one more day. Like, I don't even understand why you're brown. Every day I wish you were a different color. I don't know why elves that come in the night and take you away. You could have been a white desk, whatever. It sounds ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Which, first of all, I would never wish for whiteness. I wear so much whore makeup. This mask would be MAC neutral 45 before we got it. But it's like something that we have to realize that we're doing. And it's like, this is not my body's fault. This is my fault.
Okay.
I'm feeling miserable because I'm arguing with my body.
Okay. So kind of treat it like a child having a temper tantrum.
Sort of, but I wouldn't even treat it like a child that's having a temper tantrum. I think you need to like move and like how you're going to think about a body that has pain.
Mm-hmm.
I think you keep thinking you're going to find some magic solve one day that's going to fix all this. And so between now and then, I'm just going to be angry at my body.
Yeah.
It's kind of like somebody who says, you know what? I'm going to lose all my weight. And until I get there, I'm just going to hate myself. I would love to just hate myself until I lose all the weight. And you're just like, I'm going to try a million things. I'm going to keep looking for a solve. I know I'm going to be in pain and stuff. But until that day comes where there's no pain, I'm just going to hate the entire journey.
Yeah. Yeah, spot on.
It's a choice. I mean, you're doing it now, and it sounds like you're doing it quite well.
Yeah, not loving the results of it.
I will tell you, the most painful part about this is going to be like, fuck, I'm the one causing the pain. My body just has physical pain. Yeah. My emotional exhaustion, all that, that's me arguing with reality every single day and not getting better at learning how I want to talk to myself about this. My growth will come in the conversations I decide to start having about my body. Don't start with, I love it.
Yeah.
So what do you want? Like, if you, like, tell me what you want to be thinking.
I don't know what I want to be thinking, but I know how I want to be acting.
Okay, let's start with that then. So let's decide this. When you're, let's do two ways. Okay. When you have a new plan, let's figure out how we want to act, think, then think and feel.
Okay.
When you have pain, let's figure out the conversation you want to be having with your body that doesn't involve hating it.
Okay. Okay. The pain one's easier. So can we start with that? So for pain, I want to like take care of my body. So like, I want to drink a lot of water. I want to relax. I don't want to put extra stress on myself. I want to just be like accepting of it and kind of graceful with it.
Okay. So if you want to be accepting and graceful, then that's super easy. You just think things like, this is pain. I can do things for myself versus fuck, here's pain. My body's failed me. I'm going to have to make myself do all these nice things for myself.
Okay. Can I have those thoughts even when I'm in pain that's going to last for days?
Decide.
Okay.
So if you're going to have pain that lasts for days, do you want to just think nice things for 10 minutes and then the rest of it be fuck me?
No.
Well, that's essentially what you're asking. Is like, yeah. Do I get to just sit around and make myself miserable?
Yeah.
I don't care if you want to like feel sorry for yourself. I just want you to understand that feeling sorry for yourself is your choice.
Okay.
It's not because of the pain. Just like some people will be like, my mom has lived in chronic pain all her life. She was born with deformed feet. She has lupus. She has all kinds of bullshit. And she has a lot of pain to the point where she's had double knee replacements, a total shoulder replacement. She needs total foot reconstruction on both sides and another shoulder replacement. And that just addresses the immediate joints that need to be replaced. And she, like, very often, she could sit around and hate the pain because it's with her 24/7. But she sits around and she's just like, it's just what I deal with.
Okay.
And she moves on with life. She knows how to, like, you know, some days, this is a day that I can cook. Today isn't one of them. I can't stand on my feet today.
Right.
She talks about it in a very, like, just matter-of-fact way.
Okay.
Whereas what I think you're doing is you're, like, working yourself up.
Yeah.
That's emotionally draining on top of already being physically drained.
Yeah. Okay. So do I get to that? Because I like the place of neutrality. I like the idea of just, like, this is pain, this is what I'm going to be living with. Does it work kind of like body acceptance where you're like, okay, this is my body, this is my arm, this is
all
like
the same things?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All the same.
I'm so far from that spot that I can see a goal and I can work toward that to get to neutral.
Yeah. And I just thinking about like when you catch yourself like in the deuter about, like when you notice that you're like, I hate my body. It doesn't blah, blah, blah. You know, like a lot of times it's like my body feels like an enemy. People have like all kinds of thoughts like that.
Yeah. But
even if you don't want to change the thoughts, just going to the place of right now, I feel bad because I'm thinking about how bad this is. Right now I'm feeling so bad and drained because I keep thinking about what's wrong. There is this magic in awareness. So we call that awareness thinking. That's not where we're getting to neutral yet. We're not even getting there. It's just, it takes you from feeling like everything that you're thinking right now is like true. Like it is Mark, Luke, John, and whoever the other one is, like Matthew. I'm trying to bust out Bible shit. And here I am. Probably the last person that should be doing it, but it's gospel. Let's put it that way. The gospel.
Yeah.
When you're in the gospel, everything feels real. It feels true. It's like, oh my God, Corinne, let me tell you all the reasons why I have chronic pain and how bad it is and blah, blah, blah. If you were to post it in our Facebook group, hundreds of women would swarm in. I feel you. I've had third, like everybody will be in their shitter.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, pity party. Where's my act? You know, the problem with that is pity parties never feel good. They have a lot of joiners, but they never feel good. So you want to watch the party.
Okay.
You want to be the person who's like walking down the street, you hear the music, sad, and a lot of sobbing. You're looking in and you're noticing what's going on in the party. and you're just deciding, do you want to be in it?
All right.
Like awareness, I swear to God, is the magic antidote to any doubt or thinking. Just sitting there and thinking, of course I feel terrible right now because I keep thinking my body has failed me.
Okay.
It just raises you out of it feeling like it's true. You start feeling like it's true that you feel this way because of your thinking, not because your body actually has failed you.
Okay. I can get to that. That is attainable.
I use it all the time. I use it with relationships a lot.
Right.
Like when I'm pissed about my mother-in-law or, you know, maybe my mama has done something or, you know, whatever. Chris, a lot of times I use that thinking. I never have to go on to magic unicorn thoughts. Just knowing that, what happens is you automatically get some relief from what you're thinking. Start really understanding it is you're thinking. And there is just this natural progression towards things like neutrality, where of course I would feel bad because I keep thinking this. Eventually what happens is like, you know, this is what it is. It's pain and I'm getting better at dealing with it. Then you can start moving into things like that. Like most people never go to the Byron Katie school. If y'all don't know who she is, but she's like, you know, blindness is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. Like most of us are never going to that school.
No.
But we can get to where we get relief and we get peace and we get gracefulness.
Okay.
And that comes from shifting out of the doer.
Okay. All right. So when I get told that I need to start a new diet, I guess the same kind of vibe that I want to have is like, okay, this is figure outable. Like, I'm going to take care of this. Like, I got my own back.
So what do you think when they do it now? What sends you to angry?
Honestly, it's like, fuck you. Like, why the hell do you think I can add something else? You're taking away everything I love to eat. Like, why are you doing
this? That's the thought. You're taking away everything that I love to eat. It is such a lie. Here's how we know. You get to eat anything you want. They can't take it away from you unless they come to your house and put a padlock on your pantry. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to realize in that moment, you're being a victim and you're blaming.
Yeah.
It's never true.
Okay.
They're giving me a suggestion and I will decide if I'm going to do it. And if I don't want to, and I want to keep the pain and stuff, guess what? I can do that too. That's my options.
Oh, that makes so much more, that sounds so much better.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I could do that. Damn. All right, that's all I have for you today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye.
Just felt like I'm dropping wisdom. Kathy G, you're next.
Hello.
Hey, Julie Anna, when you go back to the comments, I don't know, Lori, she may not be able to see the comment. You might have to paste it again. That's a good one. But see if... Juliana, confirm if you could see Lori's comment about, okay, yeah. Lori, if you'll paste that, that'd be great. Hello, Kathy. What are we coaching on?
So I'm hoping this fits with today's call. So in the last year, working through your program, I've lost weight, but my body fat hadn't gone down. So I was talking with a nutritionist at my gym, and she challenged me to cut out some things and see how it went. Very, you know, planned elimination kind of diet. And I did realize that my body didn't like dairy. So even when I added it back in, my body fat like jumped, skyrocketed, weight skyrocketed, whole nine yards, even though I had been doing really well. So been managing that. I am recent empty nester. So my husband and I have been, you know, my daughter's in college for the first year. So that's been going great. I don't actually feel restricted. I love how I'm eating. I love how I feel. I love the weight loss. It's awesome. What I need coaching on is that my daughter will be home in 10 days. Mm-hmm. And my first thought went to, oh, I can't make all the foods she wants to eat that she hasn't gotten since she's been away since August. I don't want to eat it and feel bad. I don't want to eat it and lose weight or gain weight. That's my thinking is I'm like, I've dealt with it with my husband and he's fine. He makes his own thing. But I'm just in that. I love to do things for her.
And I do things for her. Like cook for her because you love doing it for her. I don't understand the problem. Is the food going to jump in your mouth?
No, it's not. It's my thoughts around that now I've got to make extra meals for me, extra meals for her.
Listen to what you're talking about it. One, you're like, I love doing for my daughter, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, well, now I'm going to make extra meals for her, extra meals for me. Let's just break it down. If you didn't have drama around food, how much extra time is it going to take for you to make the things she loves and still make you dinner?
Not much. Realistically, not much. It's just I'll do for her and then I'll be like, oh, I don't feel like making that for me now because I just don't feel like cooking anymore because I will always put her choices first because
if you know it's going to be an obstacle, what is your solution?
That's my problem. I don't have a solution.
Oh my gosh. Yes, you do. It is staring in your face.
Well, my first thought was that I come up with some very quick, easy things that work for me. I meal prep them. I have them just ready to reheat and make my meals super, super simple so that I can do whatever she wants to do and not stress.
That's option one. That's a good one.
Okay.
Cook ahead of time. Anytime you cook now, cook double, freeze you a portion. You'll be good to go.
Okay.
Now, option two. Oh my God, Toya, you got the answer I had.
I didn't even see it pop up.
All right, let's see if you can get there.
I mean, I know I can ask her for help. I can, you know, so that helps.
Toya and I didn't even think of. I didn't even think about that. I just figured she was lazy, like my son.
No, she's not. She's actually missing cooking. I know she'll help me cook.
You can cook together and enjoy the shit out of it and be like, I'm going to teach you how to make some of your favorites and I'm going to cook mine and we're going to enjoy the fuck out of ourselves. How about that one?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I'm overthinking this because I overthink things.
You're definitely overthinking it, but overthinking is the do line. And I want to figure out, so here's the other solution Koya and I have, which I think is the best. Make your food first, then you make hers because you won't run out of emotional energy to make her food because you love her.
Right.
So just do you first. You make you something quick and easy and just like, you know what? It doesn't even have to be smoking hot because I'm going to enjoy cooking for my daughter and I'm just going to love being here. It's not even about the food. It's about her.
Right.
Could be all that.
Okay.
But here's what I want to know. Something around making her foods causes you to overthink and spiral out in confusion as if you have forgotten how to take care of yourself.
Yeah, I've been working on some of that. I think I have a lot of guilt over taking care of myself and not taking care of others.
And why? Are you doing it tomorrow?
No. No, I mean, and
why do you feel guilty?
I've been working on that for a month and a half as I've been doing this. Every time I look at my husband and I'm like, okay, well, you're on your own for dinner tonight. And it's taken me weeks to be able to really kind of go, oh, that's okay to say. And I know he's okay with it. It's not him. It's me.
It's your definition of taking care of yourself. Your definition of taking care of yourself is that you're selfish. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel guilty.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what the definition of selfish is?
Probably not exactly.
Definition of selfish is doing things on purpose to harm others.
And I'm not. Definitely nothing that I'm doing will harm anyone in my family. If anything, it might help them in many ways.
That's the story that you need then to start telling yourself in your journal.
Okay.
That will redefine and shift that relationship you have with yourself around selfishness. You've got to disprove what you think is the truth.
Okay.
That when you take care of yourself, someone else is harmed. And you guys try to sneak it in. It's like, well, if I do me first, it's like putting everybody else second. That's not a helpful thought for most of you. It just makes you feel terrible. You're not putting other people second. All you're doing is, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to make my dinner tonight, and my husband's going to make his. Versus, I'm going to tell him he's on his own, and I'm just going to sit and wait for the day that he says, that's bullshit, selfish bitch. Like, because that's kind of what goes on in your brain. Like, even when you said it, you're just like, now, I've been telling him, Corinne, the last few weeks, like, you're going to have to just take care of yourself. And you even said it with an energy as if you're hoping to not step into the landmine.
Right. Okay.
But I want you to seriously think about, you know, the only way to be selfish would be for you to sit around and be like, you know what? When my daughter comes, I'm going to make my own food. But here's what I hope. That she sees me doing me first and thinks, my mother doesn't love me anymore. She's just decided I'm not important. I should have never went to college. She'll know, and that will make me cooking for me first worth it. That's the definition of selfish.
Yeah, which will never happen.
Right. Do you know how we know you're not selfish? Because you're trying to figure out a way to make the foods that she loves and to nurture her while also doing the same for yourself. That's called the definition of being selfless.
Okay.
Are you afraid of the foods that you're going to make for her? Is there any of that going on to you?
No, not really. A lot of the things that I'm not eating right now are things I didn't eat frequently because they just never felt good in my body anyways.
Okay.
The little bits of dairy that I did have, I've always had a dairy issue. So the little bits of dairy I did have just had a huge effect on my body that I didn't realize. So taking them out, but I know she's going to want pasta and she's going to want pizza and stuff. And I'm like, I can sit and not eat that or have a very little bit of it. And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
There are some things that I'm like, oh, well, the only time, you know, we ever got corn muffins were when it's her and I eating them. Yeah. So there's little bits of things that I'm not afraid of having them because I can have them, have one and then move on.
Yeah.
It's more about, I think back to August, and August was all about everything she wanted to eat. And I'm thinking like, oh, look, bread, dairy, you know, it's just the stuff that never felt great in my body. I would just eat it with her because, you know, we were eating together.
Okay.
And so now I need to change that.
Yeah, so this is really good. And I'm really glad you pulled this out because here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to August. I want you to notice in August that that's what you did. And I want you to start telling yourself, and I'm not that person anymore. I know how to connect to my daughter while she eats the foods she wants and when I'm taking care of myself the way I am. Like, the food never was connecting you guys. And I think that's something that I would love for you to journal on.
Okay.
That you guys were connecting no matter what. You're just making the unreasonable assumption that because you went along with eating those foods, that was the connection.
Right.
Connection was you loved your daughter. Period.
Okay.
Connection always comes from a thought we're having in the moment. Like, we're together. I love her. I'm so glad she's home. Look at us together. What you put in your mouth is the most irrelevant part of that puzzle.
Okay.
Unless you keep telling yourself, like, well, and she may even say something like, are you not going to eat with me? So I'm like, what if she does that? Let's say she's like, come on, I'm having cornbread muffins. When I was here in August, we were eating it together, blah, blah, blah. Like, all of that. That's just going to be a circumstance that happens in your life, it's going to be no different than looking at my wallpaper. You're going to need to be prepared. I don't know that she'll do it, but it would be really good for you to think ahead of time about that situation and how you want to respond that allows you to feel love, connection, and all those things, because you're going to want to air to, well, let me just tell you, daughter, mama doesn't eat those foods anymore because they feel terrible in her body. You're just going to have to do it yourself. Just like you did with your husband. You're going to have to fend for yourself tonight. I don't want you going in with your daughter with the same, I'm being selfish. I'm already feeling guilty for not eating with you. So I'm going to say something that's going to sound completely irrational. Because it's coming from the person who's like, thinks that she's now not connecting with her daughter because she doesn't have cornbread in her mouth.
Right.
Because that's all that it really boils down to. Okay.
Yeah, definitely some work to do. I know when she first left, the times I felt like I was the most lost without her were meals. Yeah. And some of the more meals I eat, you know, ended up eating by myself because I used to have them with her. So yeah, definitely. It's been a lot of work, but okay. I got some more work to do.
You may also just consider like thinking about, is there anything else your daughter and you can do while she's here? Just one or two other things that don't involve food where you guys can connect on. It might be a unique idea that you have. Maybe it's even just going to like, you know, I don't know what state you're in and what all you can and can't do. And, you know,
nothing. I'm in New Jersey.
Okay. Then I would come up with something at home. You know, is there a game you guys can play? Is there, does your daughter, she's in college?
Yeah, she's a freshman in college this year.
Does she like vision boarding or thinking about her future at all?
I don't know if she has. Mine is blank, but it's starting. So,
you could have a little vision board party.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that almost sounds corny, but I love, like, your daughter is the same age as my niece. And I love that age because women at that age, they just don't even know what's possible in their life.
Right.
They really don't. And they, and unfortunately in this day and age, we still, as women, get a lot of social conditioning where we just have a lot of low ceilings for us, you know, set upon us that we have to break through. So even just teaching her how to think about, you know, how much money you think you want to make one day and, you know, where do you see yourself in the future? And, you know, what do you think you're, you know, just having her even like build a healthy relationship with seeing her future and it not being scary or seem impossible or confusing. Think about all of us. Every time I teach anything, it has to do with future self, and how many of us in our 30s, 40s, and 50s can't do it.
Guilty.
And it's because no one's taught us how. I am sure somewhere in this membership, I have got some future self shit. Did you do self-love camp by chance?
Yes, I did. Which is, the two things that are up on my board right now are my childhood pictures.
Yes. Well, even like, you've got the replays. I don't know if she has self-love issues, even if she doesn't have self-love issues. Some of that might not hurt. Did you go to July camp by chance?
I did.
Okay, so you have a lot of future self stuff you guys could watch together if you wanted to. And you've got two future self letters, and like, there's plenty of resources. So, I mean, like, I don't know, just trying to think of some stuff that you even have access to inside the membership that might be good for her to like listen to. Just, I'm just thinking future self. I don't want you like throwing the no BS at
her. So, no.
You know, just thinking about who we want to be and listening to my meditation. And, you know, I think for our young girls, we have to start teaching them how to not only see a future, but see a future bigger and bolder than what society says we can have. So it's just something for you to think about.
Yeah. It might be fun.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't know why I thought of this, but I'm sitting back like this. I just like feel like a wise old owl today. Laura Manson. I don't know what makes me think shit like that. Tell you what, I'm in love with this. This is the first time I've ever worn this top. I've had it for forever, and I really like it. It's so comfortable. I gotta get a strapless bra for it, though. Laura Manson. All right. What are we touching on, Laura? We don't have sound. Don't tell me too many good things yet. Lisa R. asked, if you do no sugar, can you still use Splenda and artificial sugar? It just depends. I mean, I use Splenda. Sometimes people have they have some thoughts around all that stuff. I always sing the song, Pour Some Splenda on Me. I don't mind having the Splenda. It just depends on what you want to do. What I would do is eat some. If you notice that it spikes food cravings, don't eat it anymore. If you notice that it doesn't, it's fine by me. It doesn't bother me. It just does. I've never had the gas. I've never had hunger cravings. I've never had any of that stuff. So it's not been a problem. It says it's connecting to audio. Let's see if it did.
Am I there?
You are here. We are
all right.
Official.
Finally. Tech girl, I'm not.
That's all right. You figured it out. Now you are a tech girl.
Oh, awesome. Okay, here's my one of the million issues I have.
Right.
I already know. I used to say I can't have sugar and flour. But then after listening to you, I realized, yes, I can. I should just choose not to. I have a lot of autoimmune diseases, and sugar, flour, grains, things like that really, really bother me. I mean, horrible. My problem is I am a real emotional eater, or I call it that, and I have a real I don't give a fuck attitude in the moment. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as I've eaten all the bad stuff, then I really give a fuck. Because I hurt.
Well, I just hurt. That's what happens to everyone. In the moment, you're not thinking about the after you.
Right. So how do I in that moment, and I have tried so many things. I mean, I write in my planner and the things that I know I should eat, and then I'll even actually put in there a few of the bad, what I call the bad foods.
I think one of gotta quit doing is referring to it as bad.
Okay.
When you talk about foods as if there are bad ones or whatever, it's probably the I don't give a fuck attitude is a result of that type of language. Because when you talk about it that way, mm-hmm. and there are these bad foods and stuff, then in the moment when you don't, it increases the desire to rebel against rules.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Because they're not bad.
No, they're not. They're not pleasant for me. They're just not.
They have a cost.
Right, they do. They definitely have a cost.
I like to think of for people with autoimmune and stuff is that those foods are it's like very expensive for you. You have to decide, do I want to pay like, basically, when you're going to eat pizza, it's like buying a Bentley.
Yeah.
It'll be super expensive.
Right.
You know, right. High price at the end, you know.
Well, how do I get myself past, I guess what I think is the emotional part of it overrides the cost for me. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, but then afterwards I go through the whole regret, what I do that for, I pay for it physically. I just have all of the things that come with eating it. But at the time when I make that choice to eat it, I allow that emotion.
Why, like, I think the problem isn't so much, you know, you want to say, fuck it. We all know that we eat those foods to get relief, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. that's fine. Why do you want to eat it to begin with is the real question. Have you been looking at, like, so, because fuck it is what happens at the end of your rope when there's been other emotions going on.
Well, I've been trying to journal that, and I feel like I used to call myself a foodie. I just like it. I like the taste of it. It tastes good. Yeah. But then I thought, as I would journal that, well, yeah, it tastes good, but you realize after you're done having that few minutes of goodness, you're going to have 6 hours of crap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, weigh that out in your head. And then as I kept journaling, I just realized that it's like a drug for me. My job, although I just retired yesterday, thanks to you. Thank you. Hey, it's been a long time coming. I should have done it a long time ago. But anyway, my job was really stressful. So I would eat to get through that. I'm in the process of divorcing my husband, although he doesn't know it yet. But that's pretty.
Merry Christmas.
I know. I know. But you know, he, that's pretty stressful. My children know. Everybody knows, but him. So
but here's the thing. Here's what I want to show you is that. Okay. This is, I think, where some of this, like when we think about why do I get to the fuck it place, it's because. You're saying these things are stressful. You have forgotten the most important part of thought work. What thoughts are you having that are causing you stress? Mm. When you apply that these things are stressful, then your brain makes an irrational conclusion that there's no way for you not to eat in the moment until those things are now resolved. Can't have stress. Anytime there's stress, we're going to have to just eat because there's no other solution. If things are to blame for stress, then things have to change. So then you spend your life trying to fix things and never fix the pattern in your brain that allows you to get stressed to begin with.
Okay. So... I guess, all right, what module is that?
Because I know. Module two. I don't know what else I need to do for module two other than put like a confetti cannon. And when y'all log into the website, it's like, it's right there. You have to listen to it several times.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
This is what I would do if I was you. This will be really good. Laura, I want you to listen to module two. And then I want you to immediately listen to Thought Bootcamp, the bonus course. Take them back to back. It's all about your thinking.
Right. Okay. Well, I know I did the think, feel, do thing with my job. I've been wanting to retire for a long time. It's long overdue. And I really sat down and thought, why am I staying? What am I hanging on to? What am I doing? And I realized there was a lot of validation there that I'm not getting at home. There was a lot of, we need you, you're valuable, you're important to us, this type of thing that I was getting there that I wasn't getting at home and I didn't want to give that up. Well, through listening to all the calls and stuff, I got to thinking, I don't need them to do that. I can do that myself. I could tell myself I'm valuable. I could tell myself I'm worthy. And I could tell myself I'm important. And I don't need to keep trucking around in all these damn farms messing with all these cows, veterinarians. Yeah. So I told them I was quitting. I was going to go into my retirement. And we found another person. And yesterday was my last day. We had a big old party. And I ate all kinds of stuff I wasn't supposed to. But after 35 years, they made it.
So why did you eat the food yesterday?
Guilt. it was pure guilt. I did a discovery worksheet on it today. it was supposed to be a surprise, but I kind of knew it wasn't, because when I was ready to leave, they sort of ambushed me and told me not to go. They made this great big cake in the shape of a cow that somebody took a lot of time to do. There were, forget COVID, there were just hundreds of people there, that my clients and different things, and they were all just eating, and everybody was standing around talking and having a good time. And I ate because I felt guilty. I felt like they did all this for me. It was a way of showing appreciation.
So mad at myself. Walking around and thanking them and stuff like that. I want to show you how, like, what your thinking is. I ate because I felt guilty. Everybody was eating the cake that someone worked really hard for, so they were getting validated.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to thank everyone, so that could be done with words. Like, thinking about, like, all right, in these moments, when it comes to food, you know what's going to be the hardest thing for you to do? Is to call out bullshit before you allow yourself to eat. Like, all right, if I'm going to have cake, I'm at least going to tell myself the truth. The truth is that nobody in here in this room is going to feel appreciated because I'm chewing cow cake. Not a single person.
Yeah. You're right. In my head, I kind of thought that, because I felt like as I was mingling through the room, the area, we were outside, but as I was mingling through the area, holding this cake in my hand and all this other food, I kept thinking, nobody's watching me to see if I'm chewing this. Just hold the plate. Just hold the plate. Or better yet, put the plate down. And then
set it down. And then if anybody says, have you ate anything? And just say, no, I don't want to eat right now. I'm too busy enjoying all of you. I want to enjoy all of you. I'm retiring. Right. I can eat tomorrow. Today, right. I want to be with you.
Right. Yeah, but see, I don't think that far ahead. I just think, oh, okay, somebody made this cake and I don't want to make her feel like so it was stupid, and I did my worksheet today.
But it's one of the things you want to learn from. So one thing that we can learn is, when you know you have a situation where you might want to feel guilty, where you might want to eat because everybody else is, where you know you're going to have these irrational thoughts around food,
mm-hmm.
You want to plan that out ahead of time of, like, okay, I'm going to feel really uncomfortable at this party because I'm not going to be eating, and I'm going to want to remember that I'm going to think that I should be eating. I want to remember that I think I should be, that someone's feelings might get hurt. I'm going to think, like, I'm probably going to think, somebody went out of their way for me, and here I am not eating. I just want to know that I might be thinking those things, and that's okay. I'm still not going to eat. I know it's not true, but my brain is going to offer all of it up. So when you decide not to eat at the party, you're going to need to be willing to feel awkward instead of guilty. Or you're going to need to feel awkward instead of justified. Or you're going to need to feel awkward instead of, what would you call it? Like, going with the flow. Fuck it mode. Like, fuck it. It's my last day. I'm just going to eat these things. They work so hard, blah, blah, blah. Mm. That line of thinking is always going to feel good. It has no good payoff, but in the moment, it has a great payoff. It absolves you from all the other thinking that you're going to have if you don't eat.
Wow.
Is you guys want to, I want to go to this retirement party and not have any of these other thoughts. No.
Right.
Go to the party and you have all these other thoughts, and you also know, and I was prepared for all of it. I know that's what my brain is always going to do that. And you go through the emotions of those thoughts coming in. Just remind yourself, I'm here for the people. I know I want to eat right now, but it's only because I keep thinking I'll feel better if I eat. I'm willing to feel awkward right now. And you don't even have to think about feeling better later. If you want to, if that line of thinking can worms do it? If not, just be like, I'm just willing to feel awkward right now because it's different than what my brain is wanting me to do.
Okay. All right. And that really helped me too, as far as just the regular, you know, the wanting to eat, the emotional right now in this moment. That I never even thought about it, that this makes me feel good, but it also takes away those other thoughts, that the uncomfortable ones. You know, I don't, because I always sit there and say, no, I can't have that because it's going to make me feel bad. And that right away triggers all the, oh, you're deprived, woe is you, you can't have. And then I'm sitting there fussing with all those feelings in my head when I should just say, you know, okay, eating that, yes, in this moment will make me feel good, but after that moment, I'll have all that other crap to do. Oh, that really helped. Okay, good. I'm glad to call.
Yeah, that's one that you can do. I call it arguing with an urge. So basically you're having these urges and then you're like the first sentence you said, you're arguing with it.
Right.
How do we know if we're going to successfully manage an urge? If an urge comes in and the conversation in your head makes you anxious or feels punitive or whatever, it's not going to work in the long run. There's only two things that will come. Either you will successfully not eat, but you will destroy the relationship with yourself.
No, don't want that.
Because this is what will happen. Every urge, like every time you argue with urges like that, your brain gets more and more scared of them.
Oh, okay.
So you're like, I'm arguing. Just think about if you have a parent who every time they come into the room, you never know. But like every other day they come into the room and they just start yelling at you for no reason. Clean your room. Do this. Like they're just in a bad mood and they just go ham on you. Okay. Eventually, your brain starts noticing when the parent, like it will hear the parent before they even enter the room. It starts paying more and more attention. And if the parent starts getting near, you start getting anxious. You start scrambling. You start trying to escape. Same thing with the urge. If you start sensing, like you start seeing food you normally have an urge with and stuff, you'll want to just eat fast before that punitive parent can come in and yell at you. You'd rather move on to the part where we just shame ourselves, because at least in the shameful, guilty stage, we got a gut full of Oreos. We had some point where we liked it.
Right.
So what you want to do is you want to not be arguing with it. And what I like is to think about that whole line of thinking of course I want it. I've been eating to please people for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now it's normal that I would like have this desire right now. It's normal that I'm not going to. Like for you, it would be just like there's no, I can't have it. It's like for you, it's when the urge comes, like, well, of course I want it. Food does taste good. It makes sense that I really want to eat. It makes sense that I just want to go fuck it and just eat. Mm-hmm. Like that right there, that it just makes sense is enough for you to be like, okay, we're not going to.
Yeah. Right. It's almost like it would give me a permission in my head or my emotions to say, yeah, I want it, and it's okay that you want it, but let's not have it because I don't want to feel like that. And then move on, do something else. And I remember listening to a call here a while back. I don't know, I listen to you all the time. It's crazy. But you had said to somebody, they made a decision. No, once you make that decision, you don't get to sit there and negotiate with yourself. You made it, move on. And I kind of want to think of it that way, you know. No, I made a choice. I'm not going to eat that. Yes, I do want to eat it. It would taste good, but no, I'm not going to do that. Made the decision. Move on. No negotiating. Okay, I'm good now. Got it.
The negotiation.
Thank you.
Is very exhausting.
Yeah, it is. It is. I make excuses. I think, well, you know, it's been a bad day, and it was really hard, and you know, I whatever 85 cows today or what, and it's, you know, I earned it. I deserve it. And it's horrible. It's horrible living in my head, but I'm getting better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye. How do I even hang up?
Oh, I got you. All right, y'all. That's everything. That's all the questions and all the hands raised. So I hope you got a lot out of today. I literally just recorded a podcast where I'm talking about the three urges. It'll be in the public podcast also. But you guys, when, you know, when the public podcasts come out, if you want, you can always, you know, talk about it inside the membership, inside the Facebook group and stuff. But I go through the three urges just like I taught you today. I go through it being, we either eat from it, we either fight with it, or we end up working with it. All right. Somebody said, what? How can you look this good in the morning? Let me tell you how. You have to film right after this. So I'm filming some videos after this. So I have to, like, let me just tell you, on a Saturday morning, I rarely look this nice. But I have to film. So I've got all the good makeup on. I've got the highlighter. I have everything. And then I am putting on the duty clothes, and I am putting up the Christmas tree today. Just so you guys know, ho, ho, ho. It's going to be a Merry Christmas around here. I just decided, you know what? We're going early this year. We have beautiful decorations. Last year, I bought all brand new ones because we had not had new ones since Chris and I got married 19 years ago. So they were 18 years old. I feel like I got my money's worth out of those from the Dillard's. And we bought all new ones. So we're going to put the tree up. And I was like, 8 weeks. It's like, I just want to enjoy it. I just want to enjoy the tree. So, and I think right now with everything going on in the world, it's like every little ounce of enjoyment you can put in your environment, the better. So that's what we're doing today. All right. You guys have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.